Thanks, Charlie. I'm Joe. I'm an addict. Can you hear me at the back? I hate this mic. Oh, I said that last time. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. It's really good to see you all. I've been really nervous about this, but I'm just going to get on with it. It's a bit like doing an audition when you really want it. You know, you try so hard and you always mess it up. So I'm going to try to be calm and focus on my experience, strength and hope. And if anyone's struggling or new and you've got something in your head that you want to share, grab somebody after the meeting or at the break and tell them. You know, I find that honesty, and it's just been read out actually, honesty, willingness and open-mindedness has been a simple, you know, three simple things that I forget very often when I'm struggling, you know, and sometimes I've got things hidden or secrets that I don't know I'm being dishonest about, you know. Sometimes it takes some quiet contemplation or sort of a bit of quiet time for me to find out what the real problem is. But so it's good to be clean today, it's good to be sober, it's good to sort of be free from any kind of substance at all. My drugs of choice, alcohol, amphetamines, acid, marijuana, sleeping tablets, cocaine, crack, men, work, food, chocolate, I don't know, everything really. So I do qualify for most fellowships, although that's sort of been shown to me in my journey. I got sober on the 9th of May 2010, not taken a drink or a drug since that day, and I've tried to do this program to the best of my ability, a day at a time. Simple tools that I've picked up through going through the steps with another addict, my sponsor, who I wanted what he's got, and I try to be teachable and sponsorable. I came into recovery when I was 38. I kind of must have relapsed for years before I got here. I never had any clue that I was an addict at all. Not one, you know, I came from sort of Manchester, older, working class background. All my friends were ravers, party heads. It was quite cool, you know. My group of friends were either musicians or gangsters. There's no boring in my life. I was a child of chaos. I still am. It's like I was attracted to anything that was mad. I was called Mad Joe, you know. And I used to love that until one day I got really annoyed, you know, when someone called me that, and I thought, I'm not mad. And you know, it's funny, isn't it? How you don't, I don't know. I'm only just starting to find out who I am. You guys have introduced me to myself, and it sounds odd, but there's a solution in these rooms, wherever it is. You know, if you're struggling with some meetings, go to different ones. Try to identify, don't compare. You know, it's the simple things that helped me. So I had my first drink when I was 8. It's Christmas. My dad gave me a little glass of sherry. There's a Super 8. Video footage of me running around with my nightdress up with red cheeks, laughing and joking, and it obviously changed the way I felt. It was great, but I didn't continue to drink then, obviously. Great childhood. I was a bit of an isolator, very competitive at school, not very academic, a bit dreamy, still living fantasy today. You know, I was like, I liked arty stuff, drawing, anything easy really. Drawing, acting, singing. And I was quite competitive at sports. I used to push myself really to the limits with a lot of stuff. I had a lot of friends, but I never really had a best friend. I used to get really bored quickly and move around and sort of, and then I'd go through periods of isolating. I was embarrassed because my brothers and my sister was older and my mum was older. My mum had me when she was 39, so I was embarrassed that my mum had come and pick me up at school, and I was like, all that stuff, you know, that kind of too worried about what other people thought constantly, and I still have that today. You know, the steps have taught me that I have seriously low self-esteem. I'm an extrovert, so I can be really overpowering, actually, and sort of bubbly and annoying, but it's that sort of shy inside, you know, and I've recovery softened me a little bit, or is starting to soften me. I don't know, I have sponsee in this room, I don't think they'll agree, but she calls me Hitler, but so I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'm just sort of doing what I've been taught. Not saying my sponsor's Hitler, but anyway. So going back to that, got to about the age of sort of 15, I had my first drink. I met a guy, fell in love. First drink was vodka and coke, pretty normal. Started taking loads of amphetamines, spoonfuls of it, hacienda, partying, raving, great. I'd found it, you know, it was amazing. Really exciting. I loved my using and drinking for a long time. You know, I had a really colourful life. And then my dad died. And I was really angry with the world. I didn't deal with it. I just threw myself into partying and doing what I was doing. And I had several different jobs. I went to Amsterdam for a year and lived with an armed robber and just smoked weed all the time, got drunk, took coke, didn't have a job. When he got put in prison, I came home and I went to Japan for 5 years. I'd always wanted to be an actor, but coming from a working class background, I'd kind of thought, you know, when dad died, we didn't have any money. I just thought I need to get a job and just get on with it. I didn't feel good enough to apply for RADA or Mount View, or I used to get the application forms and throw them away, and then I'd find myself off my head somewhere else, and, you know, it just progressed, really. And relationships with guys, they'd last 2 years, and then I'd just kind of trade them in for a new one. Thought I was really cool and cocky and in charge, but I was just pathetic at intimacy, and I was unable to get to a certain point. If there was any change involved, I wouldn't want to hear their side of it. If things weren't going right for Joe, then Joe would split, you know, no matter what. I went through a phase in my early 20s. I got put in prison in Greece, you know, I got done for drunk driving. I did all that stuff. I was mental. I treated, you know, we used to go out like on a Thursday and come back on a Sunday, and my mum would be like, where have you been? And all the worry that we put people through and irresponsible behaviour. And God, I better get to my recovery. I was a bit nervous. I can't stop talking. I'm not shy now, am I? Anyway, fast forward to, I started acting when I was 30. And so I'd arrived and I found myself, my drinking took off, my using took off, and I sort of jeopardised a few relationships, and I got sacked from a couple of jobs, and then I fell out with somebody that really helped me in my work, and I got a major resentment against him, and we kind of got back together working about 4 years later, and I was 38 then, and he said, come back, we'll get on with it, we need to work together, and, you know, let's forget the past. And I kind of picked up a drink that night and basically just ruined the whole night, and I got hauled in the office the next day, and they said, we don't want you to use on the job or drink or do anything. You're a nightmare. What's up with you? And I was, at that point, I was in the hotel room that morning, and I was considering suicide. It was like, you know, I guess a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I know now that these things pass, but somebody 12-stepped me on a train. He was 5 years clean. And he told me his story, and it was the depth and weight. I went, that was the 7th of May. I went to my first meeting in Stoke Newington. They kindly took me to an AA meeting, was my first meeting. And I sat in that room and I identified with the loneliness, the fear, the terror, the bewilderment, the feeling of apart from, the anger, you know, all that stuff. I just burst out crying, I couldn't breathe, and I thought my life's over. And I can honestly sit here, I haven't got much time left, but I can honestly sit here in my life and say my life is beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I got a sponsor about a month into recovery. I'm a sponsor. Someone said to me, God, you must have wanted to get well if you asked him to be your sponsor. I didn't know, you know, I just was that desperate. I would have done anything. And I know I hear that said by people, but started going through the book. Didn't have a problem with God, you know, I didn't know what it was. I had like a childlike image of God, really. I just used to pray to God when I couldn't sleep because I'd sniffed too much cocaine and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, please, God, let me sleep. I'll never do it again. And then a few hours later, after waking up, I'd do it again. Got to step four, fact-finding, fact-facing. For me, that was, I really procrastinated and avoided it. And I really found it hard to be honest. And that was the key, just the honesty and the willingness. And you know, just get on with it. You know, I heard someone say that, you know, they built a desk before they wrote it. It's anything, you know, it's like, I had to learn lines the other day, and I just cleaned the whole flat, and I never clean, you know. It's like anything to do before work, I put anything before doing any work. And by writing the stuff down, the resentments and the truth, and looking at my part, and then looking at my fears and harms and sex inventory, and going to a person that I don't really know and sitting there and sharing everything, I did start to have a spiritual awakening. I didn't know that day, but the feeling was unbelievable. It wasn't like lights going off or magic or whatever. It was just a feeling of peace and contentment, and a feeling of, like, as if someone took a bag off my shoulder. You know, it's like having a bin full of food, full of crap, and I cleaned it out, you know, and I guess the rest of the programme, like the 10, 11 and 12, is getting rid of those little bits of tomatoes and ham and maintaining that. But step 5 for me was very powerful. I shared it with 2 people, my sponsor and a woman. And then I went on to do 6 and 7, which baffled me a bit sometimes. They're really important, of course, because it's where I meet my higher power. And I understand my relationship with my higher power. You know, I am not in charge. It's last night when I got asked to do this share, I was with a sponsor and I was thinking of any way I could say no. She said, "You've gone blank, are you all right? You know?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, no, it's all right, carry on." And I just text Gary, "Yes, I'll do it." But I didn't want to do this, you know. I wanted to think about me today and learn my lines and that, you know. So sometimes it's good to hand it over and to, you know, that connection with a higher power. Step 8, look at, you know, where I've kind of harmed people. Look at if I would have liked to have been treated like that, you know. Am I willing to go to them? Forgiveness, go and ask them, you know, tell them that I'm sorry, step 9. And then when I was 2 years sober, I started doing step 10 properly, to the best of my ability. There's no proper way of doing it, but I started giving it a go, writing it down and sharing it with people. Because it's all right if I write stuff down, but if I don't share it, I'm not getting rid of it. I'm not discussing it. I'm not looking at my stuff and my part and causes and conditions and... You know, I'm really new to this fellowship. I'm a newcomer, really. And what's been given to me in such a short space of time is absolutely unbelievable. So what's coming is, you know, if I manage to stay clean a day at a time, I just don't know what's there, you know. It's just wonderful. The peace and serenity that I feel just by knowing that I'm not in charge, that I have a higher power. It does say if you're struggling with that, you can find your own concept of God. You know, for me, it's love, it's acceptance, it's kindness, patience, tolerance, it's being honest, being able to listen to my gut, you know, and what was blocking my gut and my channel to my higher power was my past. And now I know it's my greatest asset, you know, getting rid of that bin full of crap. If, you know, I try to explain to sponsees, you know, step 4 is like the angry step. Just keep writing. You're doing really well. You're doing, you know, because people need encouragement to get this stuff down and they need honesty. But it's like as soon as you've got that stuff down and you're honest, you're halfway there. You know, it's an amazing feeling to get rid of that stuff and start anew. It's like being born again. So, Charlie, how am I doing for time? I'm up now. I like that film. So, yeah, step 11. Doing my best, and step 12, I'm doing that now, and I guess that helps me to deal with the things in my life, like, you know, mum's ill and people dying, and just being able to kind of reach out for help, really. And yeah, I wish you all a nice evening, and thanks for friendly faces, and it's great to be here. Thanks a lot, guys.